Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome into Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard with you out here in Las Vegas, Nevada, inside the VSiN studios, inside the South Point. Also with us is James Salinas out in Denver, Colorado, the 2015 Super Contest winner. James, how was your weekend? How are you doing today?
I'm doing great today. It's always the aftermath on Mondays of what happened on Sunday and through the weekend. So a typical NFL Sunday yesterday, lots of crazy endings, lots of crazy plays, lots of crazy outcomes. So we're kind of used to that. Nothing new.
Well, I love it. You know, all the action that we do get, and certainly the scoring is up in the National Football League this year, too. So a lot to unpack on the show. Let's start with the Chiefs and the Ravens. When you think about Monday night, everybody's been anticipating this game. Baltimore opened up at -2.5 at home. A big Monday night game between the Chiefs and Baltimore, two of the favorite teams in the National Football League this year.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is what everybody wanted to see last year as far as the AFC Championship was concerned. And obviously the Ravens stumbled their toe in that first game back as the number one seed. But I think now that was then. This is now it's a huge game. I feel like it's a bigger game for the Ravens. We'll get a better sense of how that plays out. But I feel like it's a bigger game for the Ravens. If there's a Chiefs team, I mean, once you've kind of won, they realize when it comes to the Chiefs that not every game, they've been through the big games. They've won the big game. They're the Super Bowl champions, so they know they're going to get everybody's best punch. So I'm wondering tonight if there's going to be more pressure that the Ravens put on themselves to win this game.
Yeah, you know, you think about the Chiefs, too, their last game against the Chargers. Some interesting comments coming from the Chiefs in terms of that they felt like they were out of sync. So teams are trying to find ways to slow down their offense. But once that offense gets started with Patrick Mahomes, it's hard to stop and hard to slow down. But you mentioned the Ravens with more to prove here. Maybe a statement type of game on national television.
It could be. I mean, I'm sure that when that schedule came out months ago and they looked at it, they circled this game. This was the biggest circle. This was circled in red. This is the game they want because this was the game they were anticipating being able to play and host last year. With that said, we'll kind of see. We'll I don't know. I'm kind of back and forth. I'm on the fence with this game. I think part of it, too, is the fact that if this was a typical Monday night any years past, pre-COVID, that having the home field advantage there and having that raucous crowd on a Monday night, they've been pre-gaming all afternoon and all evening. You know, it'd be a late start out there at 8:15 their time, local time, Eastern. That would have a different feel. So I'm just curious. That's another piece of it that I really want to find out is, yeah, there's no fans in the stands, virtually speaking. I think they're going to test out a few people out there tonight, but not the atmosphere that you would normally find on a big matchup like this on Monday Night Football.
Yeah, still a big game. And then, you know, maybe the guys on the field can test each other out, right? And so when you think about the total, 52.5, the Chiefs, 9-1-1 ATS in their last 11 games, the Chiefs, the under is 4-0 in the Chiefs' last road games, which is fascinating to me when you think about that over-under, that total. And then the Ravens, 4-1 in the Ravens' last five games overall. When you think about this matchup, too, from a betting standpoint, James, the Chiefs on the road, but no fans. Like, no fans to interrupt or interfere with their offense. And you wonder, okay, are the Ravens enough to slow down this Chiefs offense?
Well, and they could be. I mean, they've done a lot of changeover on that defense. They've gotten younger at linebacker, younger at safety. There's on that back seven, there's a lot of change. So it's going to be, I'm not sure how they match up with Kelce. I think that's going to be part of it. And then the rookie Hilaire coming out of the backfield, new rook, a lot of speed, able to not only run the football, but catch the football out in space. There's going to be some challenges for that Ravens defense tonight to match up both with Kelce and with the rookie out of the backfield.
Yeah, I like the matchup, too. Everybody's anticipating it, James, and looking forward to that. And looking forward to later on the show, Luke Jones is going to join the program in hour number two to help us break down the Baltimore scene and what's going on. Let's move back into last night, Packers and the Saints. That line opened at New Orleans -6, closed -3. Interesting game, but Aaron Rodgers is on fire and really took control of that game last night.
Well, and I think we saw last year, because Devontae Adams, number one receivers, and we've discussed this, I think, a lot, where we're, what is the impact of your number one receiver not being there, not only for that quarterback, but what, how does that adjustment make for the offense, but also for the defense and how they can game plan because they know that number one player isn't there. Now, Michael Thomas, I think, means more to Drew Brees than what Devontae Adams does to Aaron Rodgers. And I think we saw that last year with Devontae being hurt a lot. Other receivers were able to step up. Lazard had a huge game last night. Big game last night. Big plays over the top. And yeah, I mean, Rodgers is totally healthy. He's got a fire lit under him from some of the controversy that happened with the draft in the offseason. He looks great. He's healthy. We've seen him. It seems like every year there's something going on with Rodgers. Usually a lower body injury. It's an ankle injury, a calf injury, something like that. But we see his best right now. When he's focused, he's motivated, and he's healthy, he's playing lights out.
Yeah, tremendous line movement, too, there. When you think about that game, the Saints, a heavy favorite all week there. And then, okay, you wonder about what's going to go on with Devontae Adams. It didn't really make a difference. You think about that total, too, at 52. That didn't make a difference. When you have a quarterback and an offense in Green Bay, they're averaging 40 points a game right now through three games, which is incredible, James. But you said it. Aaron Rodgers on a mission. Aaron Rodgers, when you think about what he needs to prove, despite the fact that he's not getting help from the front office in terms of bringing in guys that can help him out offensively, still getting a job done. I mean, that was tremendous. I watch out for Green Bay in terms of how he's going to raise all boats within that franchise. On the other side, you think about the Saints, two consecutive losses on primetime. You wonder what they're thinking right now.
Well, and think about the home field advantage that they don't have right now. Yeah, they're at home. They didn't have to travel, and they're in that dome. Sunday night football kind of feels like Sunday night football supplanted Monday night football as far as the energy level goes and the intensity of it. Everything builds up through the day, and Sunday night's kind of turned into the end-of-the-day get-out game. No fans in the stands, right? How did that impact? So some of these lines, it opened up big. It dropped down, obviously, but we really have to take into account the fact that there aren't, at least for now, there aren't fans in the stands, so the energy level and the intensity level, as well as not only how does that impact the home team, but it's having an impact in a positive way for that visiting team because they're able to hear. Aaron Rodgers can make his checks at the line of scrimmage. He can call out those protection calls, those audibles. Everybody can hear it. They're all on the same page, so instead of having to do a whole lot of hand signals, they can actually speak, and then they're also doing some dummy counts to get guys to jump off sides, whether they're getting a free 5 yards or sometimes a free play. Some of these places, especially I felt like last night, it was kind of a disadvantage for the Saints of what they're normally used to playing at home.
Well, not only that, too, the energy level, like you mentioned, but you think about from a visiting opponent standpoint. So one of the things that we always had to get coached up on or reminded about, James, when we were traveling as a visiting team, was to match the energy level of the home team. And the home team was going to get that lift from the crowd, right? And so now that energy lift is not there, that boost of adrenaline is not there. So that's easy for the opponent to be able to match that energy level. So all you have to do now is go out there and execute.
Well, and so let me ask you this, Pritch. So as an offense, when you're going on the road and you're going into a tough environment, a loud environment, a raucous environment, and the adjustments you have to make as an offensive team at the line of scrimmage and the hand signals and all the things that go into it, what kind of advantage does that really spell out for those visiting teams coming in that they can adjust and really have different cadences and make it more impactful? Because I think a lot of things are impacting the totals in the NFL. We've talked about the rule changes and, you can't jam, you can't touch receivers, basically. You can't touch them at the line of scrimmage. You can't hit anybody over the middle. You better not even look or breathe at one of these quarterbacks. You're going to get a personal foul thrown at you. So a lot of advantage to the offense, but now with not a lot of fans in the stands and that noise not being really a factor, how does that impact these road teams on the offensive side?
Well, let's break it down this way. So offensive line, you don't have to worry about the snap count. You don't have to worry about whether you're going to get off quick enough, and certainly whether your defender in front of you is going to have an advantage on going off the football because you can't hear. So there's an advantage right there, or a lack thereof an advantage for the home team. Let's go out to the wide receivers. Now you can hear your quarterback. You don't have to do the hand signals. You can have dummy calls because certainly a defense unit out there can probably pick up on what you're trying to do and how you're trying to communicate, but you can just have dummy calls. And then I think about the week of preparation. So as an offensive unit going on the road in a hostile environment, we always had to prepare for that crowd noise. And now you don't have to do it. So I think during a week of preparation as an offense, you get more work done. You don't have to worry about that crowd noise. So I think you're seeing a little bit of that play out in the National Football League through these 3 weeks. Moving along, James, to Seattle and the Cowboys as well. Another great matchup between two MVP candidates. What did you think of that game when you think about that line, Seattle minus 3.5 at home? It closed at Seattle minus 5.5 with a total 56.5.
Well, I mean, obviously, Russell Wilson looks spectacular, as he always does. Dallas had a lot of issues in the secondary, a lot of injuries, a lot of turnover there. Seattle was really able to exploit it. And what Seattle has turned into is big plays. I mean, they're looking to stretch the field, looking to go over the top. They left another touchdown on the field with DK Metcalf kind of strutting in on a big play over the top. I'd be interested to see what was said on the sideline to him. But yeah, there's another touchdown left on the field because they're so confident in their passing game right now, especially stretching the field, really able to exploit Dallas. Now, Dallas was able to exploit them in the passing game too. I think I love the safeties for Seattle with Diggs and Adams. Adams pulled the groin. He didn't finish out the game. We'll see what that looks like coming up this week. Suspect he may not be able to play, but those corners, I think the biggest weakness. We talk about the pass rush for Seattle kind of being non-existent, but it's really because they have to help those corners. It looked like Trey Flowers, I mean, with Griffin on one side and Flowers on the other, especially with Flowers, there was times, and I've got a big screen TV here, and I'm watching that game, and at the line of scrimmage, I don't see Flowers in the screen anywhere. I mean, he's playing 10, 15 yards off the football, afraid to get beat deep, so I think that's going to be an issue of concern for Seattle going forward is really at the cornerback position.
Hey, I agree with you on that too. When you have Russell Wilson scoring the way that he's scoring right now, certainly complimentary football and certainly the benefit of that having that knowledge as a defender out there. But they do need to clean that up. I thought this would be the week where we saw defenses kind of clean it up a little bit more, try to catch up with offenses. But then you have Dallas with the ability of the quick strike, three plays, 75 yards and earlier in the game and in the second quarter and then three plays 94 yards in the third quarter to get back into this game. I love Dallas's offense, but Aldon Smith and others defensively, Dallas, they need to improve there.
Well, and you're starting to see a change over Dallas's identity. Offensive line, pound the football, feed me to Ezekiel Elliott. He had 14 carries yesterday. Now, they bottled him up. He only had 34 yards, so not a lot of yardage gain, but he only had 34 touches behind running the football. So where's their identity right now? Are they turning into this passing team? I mean, Dak Prescott threw the ball 57 times. That's not the Dallas Cowboys that we're used to seeing. Is that going to continue this season? I think maybe there's some with the new coaching staff coming over. I know Moore is still there as the OC from last year, but definitely a big change coming out and looking to have big plays outside of, you know, our the previous head coach that was there that our buddy Michael Lombardi likes to call the clapper. Totally different change, totally looking, especially the identity. It's interesting to see, and I think this is going to continue going forward.
Yeah, McCarthy as the head coach, offensive mind guy and more. He's trying to prove himself as an OC as well. Bears-Falcons. interesting development in that game, right? The Falcons, they're a mess right now. We talked about this last week, letting another big lead, not being able to hold that situation, and then the quarterback switch with the Bears.
Well, so
this was what I took the Bears. I took the 3.5. I kind of bet the number, but it wasn't a bet on the Bears. It wasn't a bet on Trubisky. This is really a bet against the Falcons and kind of the culture that's there. They're still in, it's ghost of Super Bowl past for them from how they blew that big 28-3 lead in the third quarter against the Patriots a few Super Bowls ago. I don't know if that's ever left Quinn, and I feel like that's still lingering around on that team and that locker room. We saw it last week come to play against the Cowboys, dumping it left and right. That secondary is really porous. They got a lot of injuries on that team, too. Another team that didn't have their number one wide receiver in Julio Jones. But we saw that come to play. And when we saw the changeover, really that changeover was they tried with Trubisky. He missed a big touchdown throw. They actually would have had the lead at halftime if he makes that throw. He missed Anthony Miller down the seam, and he was open, and he overthrew it a couple yards. And then the next series in the third quarter comes out, third down. It's a stack trip formation. Really, he reads it as man, and they're sitting in zone. He's totally locked in on Graham across the middle. Easy pick. Party's over. We won't see Trubisky come back in again unless Foles gets hurt. Now, he has had a history of being injured, but I saw a different energy and confidence from those receivers and from that collective team for the Bears having Foles step in yesterday.
Yeah, and I think that's what Nagy sensed, you know, the response of the team with Foles out there versus Trubisky. I mean, they had the quarterback competition in camp, and that's never a good thing. So maybe Nagy sensing it the right way as he puts Foles out there. Atlanta's a mess. You're right about Quinn. I don't know how they get over it. They are not a well-coached team at all either, James, at this point. Interesting to note about that team, too. You wonder, when are they going to start looking towards the future, which guys they want to keep and which guys they want to get rid of. So a lot of news and notes probably coming out of the ATL. As we continue with betting across America right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network, this team, it was a playoff team last year, are they legit this year? James and I will discuss that next. Basketball, baseball, and hockey action at BetMGM Sports isn't enough for you. Football is back at BetMGM Sports Nevada, the premier sports betting app from the same folks who bring you the best sportsbook and casino action in Las Vegas. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and much, much more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. If you're excited about the return of basketball, baseball, and hockey, then it's time to believe in your game at BetMGM. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. Welcome back to the program. It is Betting Across America presented by BetMGM. I'm Mike Pritchard, along with you, with James Salinas out in Denver, Colorado. And James, I talked about a team who made the playoffs last year. Are they legit this year? I'm talking about the Buffalo Bills. Your thoughts on the Bills and their chances as a playoff contender or a team that could make a Super Bowl run as well?
Well, we talk about identity. Identity's changing with this Bills team. It's interesting to see how they've opened up the season offensively. I think the last couple of years with Josh Allen, they've been very conservative. Let's not put him in a lot of third and long situations. I'm not sure. As a rookie quarterback coming in, young quarterback, you got to work through some growing pains and kind of scale the playbook down. Through the first 2 weeks, and I'll have to look back and see how it was yesterday, but for the first couple weeks of the season, they really were spreading the field out. They had more sets of four wide receiver looks than anybody else in the National Football League those first 2 weeks, and I suspect they did the same thing. They're really spreading the football around, so it's not just let's play ball control, run the football, third and manageable, and let our defense win these games. Now they're opening up the playbook, and Josh Allen, he has the arm strength to get it down the field. As far as actually his, you know, being accurate with the football, that still remains to be seen. The schedule makers did I think, did the Bills a favor how they started the season. They got to start with the Jets, got to start with the Dolphins, the two doormats in the AFC East. Then they got to play at home again against the against the Rams, who had had to travel twice. They played out east and back and forth from East Coast to West Coast two times. So easier schedule so far for the Bills. I'm not ready to just say, yep, I'm on the Bills bandwagon, because I think Belichick and the Patriots will still have something to say about the AFC East crown.
Yeah, how about that, James? You know, Buffalo in this game against the Rams, -3, closed at -2.5. I know some people that had some action on that game, the total 46.5. But how about this, a question mark about maybe Buffalo's defense, that effort that they had against the Rams. I mean, the Rams got it going offensively. It's like the Buffalo defense could not come up with answers. But I don't know if people had questions about Josh Allen and that offense based on what he was doing coming into the game, over 700 yards passing, touchdowns galore. He's got Stephon Diggs. He's finding the field. He's seeing the field, too, based on what you mentioned by spreading out that offense. You think about Brian Daboll. He's an offensive guy, too, from Auburn, I believe. So he's kind of bringing that college concept and something that Josh Allen is highly familiar with.
Well, and that'll work for now. Let's see how that works out in Buffalo come November and December when those winds are swirling,
right,
you know, and that wind chill's below zero. Are you going to be able to continue to spread them out and sling the ball around? I think on the Bills' defensive side, the linebackers are kind of concerning. You can run on them. They're kind of smallish. You know, Milano is really – he's really a strong safety. He's an undersized linebacker. I think he's about 220 pounds. So you can run right at the Bills. So I think as the weather, and that's the other part, Pritch. We know there's lots of scoring, all the different advantages with no fans in the stands, and the rules set up the way that they are. Also, the weather hasn't been a factor. The weather's been warm. It's been great. It hasn't really been humid across the league. We haven't seen a lot of windy days. But as we know in the NFL, the seasons change and the weather changes, and again, game plans have to change. So looking at the Bills going forward with their offense, I think what we're seeing now is not going to be conducive for them to play up in Buffalo come later in the season.
Yeah, they better learn how to run the football. And certainly, you know, if there's one thing that can stop or slow down NFL offenses this year, it's not going to be an NFL defense. It's probably going to be the weather. You know, these quarterbacks are on fire so far, Josh Allen included.
Yeah, exactly. So I think right now, if you're looking to bet unders, that's a tough proposition in any of these games, just with everything going against you. And I know the books are going to adjust and those numbers are going to get higher and higher. But until that weather changes or we start seeing some more fans in the stands to work on some of the checks at the line of scrimmage, I'm normally an under player.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that anymore, at least not this point in the season.
I hear you. Coming up next, James and I are going to get into the NBA. We got the finals set between the Lakers and the Heat. Interesting storylines on both sides. We'll talk about what James feels this series is going to play out. We'll talk about that next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. How did your football betting go this weekend? As you know, there's always room to improve your sports betting IQ, and VSiN is here to help you bet smarter this season. Start your 7-day risk-free trial and place your next bet with confidence. Sign up today and you'll get Point Spread Weekly, which is our digital betting guide with power ratings and picks from our experts. 24/7 live video streaming with full replays of all VSiN shows. The College Football Betting Guide with previews, predictions, and betting strategies. Daily emails with best bets from all of our shows, hosts, and guests. Plus, you can always access our parlay calculator, prop bet search engine, and pick tracker on vsin.com. Visit vsin.com/subscribe to start your risk-free trial today. That's vsin.com/subscribe. Welcome back to the program. It is Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard with you from Vegas. James Salinas is out in Denver, Colorado. Beautiful Denver, Colorado. And James, we got certainly the NBA, and we got this matchup. It's all set with everybody that we have here, the Lakers and the Heat. Everybody's excited about the start of this series. The pricing's already changed currently. I see the Heat plus 300 and the Lakers minus 358, a series that everybody anticipated, James.
Yeah, I think the price point's coming down. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure what we anticipated when the season started. I think everybody was anticipating the Lakers versus the Clippers was actually in the Western Conference Finals would really be what the actual NBA Finals would be with the winner coming out of that to finish off in the finals. But I love the matchup. I really like the Heat. I like the Heat in the sense that it's refreshing for me to see a team actually play team basketball, and they play it on both ends of the floor. I think NBA, we've gotten spoiled with the star power with playoffs, and usually the teams with the team with the best all-star players usually wins out in a seven-game series. And I think with the Heat, what's interesting to watch, and I love watching how they play on both sides of the floor, but especially on that offensive side, there's so much off-ball action, a lot of movement. They've got great shooters that can stretch the floor, but they play together, and they're willing to work harder on offense to execute a good look than most teams are willing to play defense for 24 seconds, and not only for that one possession, but over the course of a full 48 minutes, teams don't want to play defense that hard. I mean, the Celtics were good on-ball defenders. They got a lot of really good athletes, but you saw them start to wear down, having to constantly fight through these screens, having to get over the top of screens, and whether it's ball screens or off-ball screens, and it really played out, and as they started to, you saw that last night start to wear down to where what I see is when you start to get tired, it really impacts you, not so much on the defensive side, but on the offensive side with your shot selection. And the last game, the prior to game five for the Celtics, they got the ball inside. They played inside out for 48 minutes. They didn't do that last night. They had the lead in the fourth quarter, and then their shot selection showed up because I believe they started getting fatigued where they just settled for long threes. So great matchup. I'm excited about it. Pritch, which way are you looking at?
Oh, James, I am excited. I think I anticipated because of the bubble, right? And you think about the Heat, they're the hottest team in the bubble, 4-0, 4-1, 4-2. As they take care of business, as they get to the finals. But what caught my ear and my eye, certainly like you, watching and appreciating the Heat and their energy level on both ends of the court. If we're going to spend that much kind of energy on the court defensively, then somebody's going to get hot. And they truly believe in that concept, whether it's Bam, whether it's Dragic, whether it's Hero, whether it's Butler. It doesn't really matter, right? So let's commit to the defense and that concept, whether it's on-ball pressure or just picking up the energy level, getting turnovers, causing turnovers. I mean, things like that, you appreciate that about the Heat because it is team basketball, like you mentioned. And then on the other side is the star power. At what point does that play out? At what point does that become a dominating factor in this matchup? I don't think the Heat will back down from that. I've seen some teams back down from the star power of LeBron James and AD Anthony Davis, but I don't think that's going to be the case with the Heat in this matchup.
No, and this is star power versus team, a team that's actually being coached. Frank Vogel, he's the coach in name, but we know who the coach is on that floor for the Lakers. It's LeBron James. He's running that ball club. Spoelstra's been brilliant. He's got the pedigree to where you can even get somebody like Jimmy Buckets, who's bounced around for a while. He's come in, and he bought in, and he came because he liked the chemistry and the culture that Spoelstra and Riley for years have created. Now, this is a totally different Heat team than we've seen over the years through, you know, going to the finals with LeBron and Bosch and Wade and some of those, other, you know, even in early in the 2000s, they had that. It's different now, and it's refreshing to see this. I think the other piece that, don't forget about this too, is that I'm leaning towards the Heat. I won't get involved in the series until the series starts to progress because I really want to see some of the adjustments that are made, and I think that's going to favor the Heat rather than more so than the Lakers, because they're going to be who they are. I think LeBron's going to try to play bully ball. They really want to play more up-tempo because the Lakers really aren't a great half-court team. They're not a great shooting team. So if the Heat can figure out a way to stop the ball in transition, because I know they're, even when you made baskets, the Lakers are still going to try to run. I think that's really the key to the series is the transition offense for the Lakers. Can they establish that? Can they get extra points, easy points, where they don't have to get in a half-court play, and does Miami go zone? So it's going to be interesting to see that. The other piece, too, is It would be different if you were having to open up in the Forum and you're playing the Los Angeles Lakers, the Staples Center, whatever they're calling it now. But I just know where the Lakers have been and the history that the Lakers have. There's a lot of young players on that team for the Heat, and they might be a little starstruck. If you're going to Staples Centers, you're going, you're seeing all these banners, and you're playing in front of that big crowd and all the stars that are coming in and watching around courtside, that's not going to happen. This is just basketball. This is like old school basketball in your gym, right? And there's nobody there. It's just us. Let's get after it. 10 players on the court and let's go. I'm excited for it.
Me too. Let the best team win. And you highlighted that too. I mean, the Heat in the bubble has been outstanding. And you wonder from a fan's perspective and certainly from an energy perspective, whether the Lakers, if that's going to be their undoing here. Storylines. LeBron, everybody's highlighting LeBron playing against his old team, the Heat. They won a championship. What about Pat Riley going up against the Lakers here, though? Nobody's talking about that storyline. I don't hear it anyway.
Yeah, well, they know all of his intricacies, right? So they know LeBron James. I think we all do. We've seen he's in the finals every single year. Mm-hmm. Now, this is going to be his 10th final. You know, he's only won 3. He's lost 6 finals. Right. So it's not just a given that because he's in the final, he's going to win. I think this is going to be a long series. I mean, I might even play. I'm looking at this. If it goes 7 games, right now going over 6.5 games in this series, it's plus 275. That might be something I'm going to look at. I'm definitely going to play the over 5.5. I think it definitely goes more than 5 games. The Heat can easily win 2 games because I think the Lakers take their time to adjust too. Yeah. And Coach LeBron James is going to have to figure that out as the series goes on.
Yeah, the coaching edge definitely with Miami. We'll see what LeBron can do on the court. Think about finals MVP. LeBron leading the way as a favorite, minus 125. Anthony Davis plus 260. Jimmy Butler plus 550. Some numbers out there for MVP finals there for the NBA. Coming up next, James and I is going to get back to the National Football League and see if Tannehill, all he needed to do was get a good away from Gase. And now this guy is a legitimate quarterback. That's coming up next right here on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. September is showtime at BetMGM Sports, and they're offering new customers a chance to win $100 in free bets when they place a $1 wager on the Chiefs versus Ravens game. And if either team scores a touchdown, you win. Just sign up and make your first bet with bonus code VSIN100 to take advantage of this special offer. There's never been a better time to sign up at BetMGM Sports, the king of sportsbooks. Download the BetMGM app today and use promo code VSIN100. To win $100 when you bet $1 on the Chiefs versus Ravens game. And if either team scores a touchdown, you win. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be at least 21 years old. Located in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Nevada, or West Virginia. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-522-4700 in Colorado, Nevada. 1-800-GAMBLER in New Jersey and West Virginia. And if you or you know somebody that has a gambling problem and wants help, please call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. Promotional offer not available in Nevada. Welcome back to the program. It is Betting Across America, presented by BetMGM. Mike Pritchard, James Salinas with you today. People want to believe in Tannehill, and there's some people that don't believe in Tannehill. I think as he escaped from Adam Gase, his game has blossomed a little bit, and certainly the Titans are starting to believe with Tannehill, letting him throw the football a little bit more.
Well, I mean, it was a big changeover from Mariota, who just really displayed with no confidence. I think there was a lot of expectations on Mariota coming out as a high draft pick for that team and really not fully capable of being able to perform at that level. So Tannehill, yeah, getting away from Gase. We won't even get into the Gase and all the dysfunction I see with the Jets and that coach that everywhere he goes, it follows him. But I'm not ready to jump on this, and this really isn't a knock at Tannehill. This is more just I'm not ready to just jump on the Titans right now saying they're 3-0 because we got to consider who they've played so far. I mean, they started off Monday night here in Denver against the Broncos, had to have a late second field goal to win that game. Denver's 0-3. Play the Jacksonville Jaguars the next week. They're 1-2 right now. They had to come and squeak that game out last second as well. And then another last second win against another winless team. Right now, their opponents so far are 1-8 on the season. So scheduling matters too. It matters throughout the season, whether you're trying to find flat spots or identify the strengths and weaknesses of a team. And right now, I haven't seen Tennessee play a team that's up to a high NFL caliber standard at any point.
Yeah, you think about they're a weak 3-0, I guess. If you're talking about who you're playing and the type of games that you're playing, not crisp football at all, really. The Vikings are a bad football team. That was a pick 'em. I think it closed -2.5 for Tennessee. But they got the job done. I think it's that blue collar nature that Vrabel has. And I mean, I don't know if that's good enough for him from a betting standpoint. Look, certainly we're looking for betting angles, right? But Tannehill, 6 touchdowns to 1 interception. Derrick Henry hasn't gotten going yet. They have some injuries that they're, playing through right now. But at 3-0, you think about win totals, you think about their chances as winning the division as well, and then certainly making another playoff run.
Well, and they're going to get a test now. We talk about the schedule. They're going to get a test. They get back-to-back weeks. Now, they get them at home, but they're playing the Steelers and the Bills. I think you can throw on Tennessee. I don't like that secondary a whole lot. I don't know where the pass rush is going to come from. I know that's they were desperate to get Jadeveon Clowney to come in. Haven't really heard if he's made an impact yet or not, or how many plays he's even playing, mm-hmm. if he's in shape, if he's healthy, where that's at right now. But pass rush kind of – anytime you can get a pass rush, you know this, Pritch, if you can get pressure on the quarterback, that's going to limit your throws and limit your ability to go through your reads and make bigger plays. Right now, I think that's going to be the challenge with Pittsburgh coming in next week. That's going to be an interesting matchup with Pittsburgh coming in on the road to Tennessee. Again, not a whole lot of fans in the stands to give Tennessee a home field advantage from that perspective. But I think Ben Roethlisberger, they're starting to see some young receivers with Pittsburgh. I think there are going to be some big plays to be made against that Titans secondary. So now it's going to really fall on Tannehill. Can he keep up the scoring? They've given up a lot of points so far to a couple bad teams. When you're talking about Minnesota and Jacksonville, now you're going to have an offense that comes in. They can protect the quarterback there as well. I think Roethlisberger is going to have a field day throwing the football.
Yeah, Vic Beasley, too, another addition there. I think last week was supposed to be him and his launching point in terms of that defense with Vrabel and Tennessee, but not really an impact there. So we'll have to wait and see. Good matchup by you when you think about Pittsburgh and the Titans here. You think that'll be a physical battle, too. Roethlisberger is starting to find some receivers and open up the playbook a little bit. Are you concerned about their defense? I mean, their defense against Denver looked exposed, and then last week, too, a little bit against Houston, gave up some chunk plays as well.
Yeah, well, I think that's their secondary. I think for Pittsburgh, their secondary, you can throw on them as well if you have time to throw in that pocket because they're bringing it. They're not going to sit back in coverage and just rush four and make you have to make the right read. They want to come and be aggressive. I love it. Let's play football. Let's get after the quarterback and make him make decisions. So I think that's where the pressure is going to come from. Can Tannehill not only survive that pressure coming in? Tennessee has a decent offensive line. They've protected him pretty well, and I think the threat of the running game helps with Henry, so I think they're really pounding the rock with Henry, trying to have some balance and keep these pass rushes off of Tannehill, but it's a whole new level of defense, and especially in that front seven, that front four being able to apply pressure, the amount of different looks that Tannehill is going to have to face from the Steelers. I mean, right now, early in the week, still got a lot of film study to do with this game, but initial lean, my lean is for the Steelers to win this game on the road at Tennessee.
Okay, moving on to another game here. I was at a BetMGM property, actually, and enjoyed that experience. And here was somebody who had action on this Lions-Cardinals game. And he was loudly for the Cardinals, as the Cardinals were not doing well. Then the Lions pull it out, 26-23. You think about that line, Arizona -3.5 at home, close at -4.5. But this game went back and forth. Some great play from Kyler Murray. You think about that. Okay, Detroit was able to battle back and win this game. I mean, what did you think about that game and that outcome?
Well, I think it was a desperate spot for Detroit. There was, I think there was 11 teams that were 0-2 going into yesterday. Now, some teams like the Jets, they could be, they're going to be desperate for a win all season. Forget about being 0-2. They're going to be desperate all season just to get a win and get out of the not go 0-16 this year. But for a team like Detroit, they had played Arizona last year, and they dumped that game week one. They had a large lead in that fourth quarter and gave that away in Kyler Murray's first game as a young quarterback down there in Arizona. So a little redemption there. But also, I think just the urgency of being 0-2, different now with the Cardinals. They were always the hunter. Now they're starting. Now they were favored. They were five and a half point favorite in that game. And it's a different scenario when you're the favorite and you're expected to win. Expectations bring pressure, so that's a little different, not only for the players but for that young coaching staff down there. And then number one receivers again. Kenny Galladay comes back. He hadn't played this year. Having that target for Stafford to rely on, it stretched the field and a big target that he knows can go up, and sometimes you just need to make a play. You can just throw it up there, and Galladay will go get it. That also, I think, relieves some pressure off that offense, and it didn't just have to be pound Peterson and hope that Stafford can try to find somebody else, those second and third receivers, to move the sticks. Now it's you have Galladay, some bigger plays out of the passing game. They are able to connect for a touchdown as well. So having those number one receivers really help those offenses. And in this case, I think Detroit came with a more focused team and ready to play yesterday.
Your thoughts on Kyler Murray and Kingsbury and that offense, that air raid offense, that style, do you think it's gimmicky? I mean, I think at some point NFL defenses might be able to catch up to it.
Well, I don't think you can. I don't think you're going to win a Super Bowl with that. But if you, it's so much of it is still the talent, right? And you know, teams are going to get film on you, and they're going to adjust. Weather is going to change. Now, obviously, on the West Coast, a lot of those games out there, the weather doesn't change too drastically. But if you do have to go on the road in the playoffs, how does that play out? If you're going to a place like Buffalo or any other places on the East Coast or up north, so I don't know. I mean, things are changing in the NFL. Obviously, not only with the rules benefiting the offenses, but you know, these young college coaches coming in, and we also are seeing a different generation come into the league. Now this is the Generation Z coming in, and it's a different generation of just even being able to communicate. So I think these younger coaches coming in, part of it is being innovative of how you can match offenses and spread the field and all these different looks, but also communication style, I think, is going to be key over these next handful of years as more Generation Z players are coming in, because their communication styles are different and they relate differently. Not a whole lot of direct communication, a lot of it through social media, through devices. So being that coach that can relate and be able to speak that language, I think going forward over these next few years in the NFL is going to be key as well.
Yeah, how about on that note too, Matt Rhule, you think about the Panthers, they get their victory on the road against a home favorite, -6 to the Chargers. I think a lot of people might have been surprised by that, but it's about what you're talking about. Generation Z, new coaches, the coaching style, and certainly the concepts that they're bringing to the National Football League.
Yeah, well, and Anthony Lynn, I think Anthony Lynn's going to play. We've seen this scenario before with Coach Lynn and his team. Yeah, he's going to be the fired up guy. He was a tough-minded player back in the day when he played. I respected his game, but how does that happen when they're adjusting? I mean, I think it was really kind of a letdown spot for them, having a big game against the Chiefs, again making a tough decision in the overtime to not go for it and give the ball back to Mahomes to let them go and finish out and win the game late. Again, it's so much of these teams take on the personality of their coach. And I think Lynn's a tough-minded player, but they had a rookie quarterback coming in, and I just didn't see a lot of energy or life out of the Chargers, and it just really was a bad spot for them playing a team like the Panthers, a young team, hadn't won a game yet, young players all over the place littered on that defensive side. But if there was a team that came to play and played with more heart and more intensity, it was definitely on the Panthers' sideline, not the Chargers yesterday.
And a new offensive coordinator, too, Shane Steichen. I mean, they almost won it. I think that pitch from Keenan Allen to Austin Eckler, I mean, if they could have hooked up with that pitch, I think
it was Eckler
would score. Yeah,
it was there. They just couldn't. Yeah, it was there when they showed the graph. You know, mm-hmm. Show it for the bird's eye view. You could see the defense. It was a great play call, but then again, you got to execute. But you put yourself in that position to get down by that much. I mean, that was where you didn't show up in that first half. A couple turnovers hurt as well. A fumble from behind. I think it was Eckler that they were driving and coughed it up to. So turnovers play a factor.
Definitely.
But energy, effort, and concentration. interception really impacted that game.
Yeah, hour number two coming up on Betting Across America. We're going to talk to Luke Jones out there in Baltimore. That's coming up next.